guest speaker, Neil Campbell. Neil and Annette.
We do live in Calgary. We have three daughters, two son-in-laws, two grandsons, Nate the Great and Caleb the Conqueror. And we also inherited three grand dogs, you know, so you get the whole thing. And I was just talking to our brother here, he's got 21 grandkids. Wow, like, you know, that's got to be a record. You know, it's awesome that, you know, it's so good to be grandparents because, you know, you get to send them home after, you know, just after you spoil them and do all that good stuff. This summer, I'm actually going with my 9-year-old grandson. He's playing for Team Canada in the developmental leagues, and he's going to be playing in Europe. And so I'm going for a couple of weeks with him, and going to have a fun time with him and my daughter. So it's always good. But you know, I was talking about islands, and you know, I just really believe that Prince Edward Island is a key island for us to be on. And if you want to go to that slide that says the Fathers of Confederation, because as we go to different places around the world, we believe that God has given us an anointing to begin to discern things, and to, you know, as we're partnering with churches and we're partnering with different organizations around the world, we just kind of have a sense, and we try to say, God, what are you doing in this place? And of all the places that we go and all the islands that we've been to, this is our favorite island. Just don't tell anybody else, okay? But, you know, we have really, it's true. You know, we have really enjoyed ourselves the two times that we've been here, and I was here, we were here to a general conference probably 20 years ago. So the few times that we've been here, but we're just feeling more and more at home. And recently I just found out that my grandfather, Willard Banks, was born in Rose Valley in 1911. And so I'm not, what do they call us when we're off the island?
Away.
From away. So you can't say that I'm from away. You can say I'm from here. So, because I got roots here. And so I'm pretty excited about that. And so we drove after we went out for a time with Pastor and his wife. We drove to Rose Valley. And there's not much there, but this big valley and a lot of farms and different things. And, you know, I just kind of just had a sense, you know, that we belong. And as I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, and this has been for several years, Annette and I have just really felt that Family Foundations, as the North American directors, that we really feel that we're called to Canada, and that Canada is sending people to the nations. And as Pastor said, that we have people here from Hong Kong, Singapore, the UK, the United States, from British Columbia, from Ontario, from different places from around the world. And really, this island is becoming a sending island, and that we're partnering with Faith Work. It's not something that we're doing here. We're partnering with your church. We're partnering with the churches of the island, because there's several people from the island that are taking the training as well. And so it's something that we're partnering together, and I believe that God is wanting to restore something in our nation of Canada. And as I was reading, as I was praying over the time that I've been here, you know, I'm reminded that Prince Edward Island is a place for the Fathers of Confederation had a vision of a Canada that was a dominion under God. And that this really was the birthplace of Confederation. And as those men met here back in 1864, and as they were, you know, waiting for Confederation and kind of just kind of talking and discussing, and then they had another meeting. They went down to Quebec City where they did some more talking. But they had a vision for a Canada that was a dominion. And one of the men that was there, his name was Samuel Tilley. He was the premier of New Brunswick and one of the Fathers of Confederation. And he would rise each morning to start the day with prayer and scripture reading as they gathered in Charlottetown to discuss the draft and the terms of what was now called the British North America Act. There were many other suggestions of what we should call this new United Canada, but that morning, Tilley woke up and he read Psalm 72, verse 8, and it said this, and he became convinced that Canada was to be a dominion under God, that we were to be one nation, that we were to be a nation from sea to sea to sea. And as you look at the third slide there, it talks about the dominion of Canada, and the official motto of Canada is based on Psalm 72, verse 8, where it says that he shall reign from sea to sea. And in Canada, as we've heard the prophetic words over our nation, it's from sea to sea to sea, because as we have partnered with churches across the country, we see different regions that God has created, that God wants to bless, and that God wants to see restoration of families, the restoration of the dominion of the Father over our nation. And so we're really believing that. And so we see the Atlantic region as being a key. That's one of the reasons why we're invited here, why we're partnering here with different churches, different pastors, and different leaders. We're coming back in July for the Global Canada School of Ministry, where we're going to have several presenters sharing a vision. And I hope that most of you can be there and that you can invite other churches and other people, because I believe it's a significant event. Just as there was a gathering of the forefathers here in Charlottetown, I believe that this gathering of leaders from across Canada is a time where they're going to share a vision of Canada that is going to bring transformation to our nation. Can somebody say amen? You see, I believe that God wants to restore the glory over Canada. But there was a shift on October 27th, 1982. Just a few members of parliament, actually 12 members of parliament, passed a private members bill that changed Canada's name and position in our official day of recognition of Canada become a nation from Dominion Day. How many remember Dominion Day? Okay, Dominion Day. In 1982, I just found this out as I was researching, that on October 27, 12 members of parliament voted in this private members bill, and they took out the word dominion because he wanted to take it from being under God to becoming Canada Day, so that the pride was in the nation, not in the God who is the God of the nation. And so God, I believe there was a shift back in 1983 in Canada. And we have seen a shift in moral decline in a lot of things that have happened in our nation. And I'm not here to talk about those things this morning, but what I'm saying is that God wants to restore his dominion, his rulership over us as a people. And that's something that God doesn't force on us, but God is a loving Father, wants us to submit to him. That's what Israel was. They submitted to the authority of God. When they went away from God and they broke the covenant that had God, God would let them go to their own devices, then he'd bring them back. And I believe that God wants to bring our nation back to that kind of a state. So I would encourage you to come to the Global Canada School of Ministry, because I believe that's going to be a foundation time for our nation. I believe it's going to be a shifting time. And Pastor Billy and several pastors on the island, Pastor Doug Schneider from Oshawa, and several other leaders are going to be here. And I believe that it is a key time for Canada, and their vision is to do these schools of ministry, or these, really, I think they're envisioning schools, to give a vision for different leaders and different churches and different cities, different key cities. So we have the Atlantic region, we have the Canadian Shield, which is Quebec and Ontario, we have the Prairie Provinces, and then we have the Pacific region with British Columbia, and then we have the North. And from sea to sea to sea, I believe God wants to establish his dominion. Amen. So, Father, we pray for our nation of Canada. Lord, even as in the house of prayer today, Lord, they are praying for Canada. God, we pray for our nation, that God, that we would be one nation under God. That God, that you are in dominion. Lord, you are the ruler of the universe. And God, we need you to guide and direct us. And so, Father, we pray that there is going to be a shift at the Global Canada School of Ministry. Yes. So, Father, we just release that and we pray for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Amen. What I would like to speak this morning is this message that's on my heart. It's about the Father, a Father's heart. January 1st this year, it's a time when Annette and I usually, we take some time to fast and to pray and to seek the Father and to seek the Lord for what he wants to do in our lives, and what is he calling us to do in ministry as well. And a friend of mine from South Africa, who is FFI South Africa, sent me a text or a WhatsApp, and WhatsApp me, and he said, "Neil, I feel that God is realigning you in 2016, that you need to realign yourself." And really, as I was reading that and I was praying that, It was a confirmation of a word that was already in my heart. And what I'm realigning myself to is to, first, to the heart of the Father. But we're also realigning our vision to the Father's heart. And we're realigning ourselves with people that have the same vision here in Canada. And the alignment isn't just saying, hey, Billy, I'm with you. But it's, I'm with you because I believe in you and that our hearts are knit together. And so that realignment, it's not that we were too far off course, but you know, how many know that when your wheels are not aligned on your car, that, you know, you're always going to be pulling into the ditch. You know, it's always pulling into the ditch. And it's not that big of a mark. It can be a quarter of an inch or a half an inch that your wheels are out of alignment and it wears your tires and, you know, you're just out of alignment. You're always kind of pulling. You're always kind of fighting. And the Father said that we need to realign ourselves because God has a vision for Canada. And so realign yourself first with my heart. Realign yourself with the vision that I have for you and realign yourself with people that have the same heart for Canada that we want to see transformation happen in our nation. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, and I believe that we are in the last days, it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord." Elijah, a fulfillment of the prophet Elijah, was John the Baptist, we see in this picture. I love this stained glass. I love that because when what was happening there is that the Father from heaven, not just the Holy Spirit came on Jesus, but the Father himself said, "You're my son." And this is what I want to talk about this morning, is that Jesus walked in sonship, and he's calling us to walk in that same thing. And you see, the Elijah was a prophet. He was a father figure. He fathered many prophets, and he was a father to Ezekiel, or not to Ezekiel, to Elisha. And we see that he says these words, and I believe that this is where we are. He says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the sons and the daughters, and the hearts of the children, the sons and the daughters, to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. What has happened in our nation in Canada is that Canada is under a curse. We're under a curse because of fatherlessness. You see, we were founded by fathers. We were founded by fathers, but there's fatherlessness in our nation. We have leaders that are not fathers. There's a difference between, Paul said you have many teachers, but not many fathers. See, there's a difference. I believe it takes spiritual fathers and fathers of nations to birth something that's going to bring transformation. And what I'm feeling in my spirit is that God is calling a remnant of believers to walk as sons and daughters, and that he is raising up fathers in these last days that are going to bring a shift and bring a transformation into our society and into our culture. And that in these days that it starts, that I believe that the Father himself is saying to each one of you today that you're my son and that you're my daughter and that you need to get a revelation and you need to align yourself to the heart of the Father. So many times we're aligned to so many other things, but we need to realign ourselves to the heart of the Father. And when we align ourselves to the heart of the Father, we will fulfill our destiny and we will know our identity as sons and daughters. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You see, Jesus came to bring a revelation of the Father. You know, somehow we miss this in the church a lot of times. We focus on Jesus, we focus on the Holy Spirit, but Jesus said, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God, I have not come on my own, he has sent me." Jesus came to bring a revelation of the Father. He began to bring a revelation of a different aspect of the Father that we saw in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God is only mentioned as Father 13 times, but Jesus mentioned him as Father 150 times because he bring a different revelation. Now, it's part of the revelation of who God is. God is holy. He is a holy and reverent Father. And Pastor Bill and I were talking yesterday is that we need to have the fear of the Lord. We need to have a healthy fear of the Father. But what we also need to know is that we need to know that the Father loves us. Yes. And with the love of the Father flowing through us, that we can become true sons and daughters. And so in John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said these words. John chapter 14, verse 2, if you're reading in your Bible, it's going to be there, but it's also going to be on the screen. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You see, Jesus had just had the Last Supper. He had just spent times in John chapter 13 with his disciples, and he had spent some time of fellowship. He had spent some time explaining about who he was and about that if you were going to follow after him, you're going to have to take up your cross. And he broke bread with them. And now he's giving them a deeper revelation of who God is. He's given them a revelation. And he's saying, I'm going to be going someplace. But he says, I'm going someplace. I'm going to the Father so that you will have so that there will be a place prepared for you. And you know, I've preached that many times at funerals. I'm sure, Pastor Bill, you've used that verse of scripture. And there is a future glory. There is a future home in heaven for all of us. But I want to suggest to you today that there is a place in the Father's heart right now. Amen. That you and I are in the Father's heart right now. You see, that word mansions is actually the Greek word okeo, which means the dwelling or abode of the soul. And God here is referred to our Father 13 times. He's referred to Father in this passage, 30 times, pardon me, in this passage of Scripture. And we need to understand that Jesus is saying here, be not troubled because I'm going to my Father. And I'm preparing a place for you in the future, but now. Let's look a little deeper at this. In John 14, 3 and 4, it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you will be also, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. A little confusing at first. You know, the disciples were even a little bit confused by Jesus' wording here, but Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I want you to know the reason that Jesus went to prepare a place for you is because he wanted us to come back into that relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden with the Father. Amen. That's what we have in the new covenant. We don't have a relationship with a Father that is distant and aloof and is out there, but we have a relationship with a Father that we can know, that we can love, and that we can experience. And so love prepared a place in the love of the Father, because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, and because Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to die. Because Jesus loved the Father so much, he was willing to die on the cross to bring us to that place in the Father. And Jesus has gone to be that place in the Father. That word many mansions in light of the ancient Greek is that dwelling place. We just talked about that just a moment. And literally the dwelling place means a place to stay. And so often in our Christian journey, we have not understood that, yes, Jesus is in our heart, but that we are also dwelling in the heart of the Father now. That is the place to stay. When we are seated with Christ in heavenly places and we are dwelling in the heart of the Father, there is nothing that can faze us, because the love of the Father is what guides us and directs us and motivates us. And so there's no fear. There's no walls. And the love of the Father begins to flow through us to a world that needs to know. So how do we get to the Father's heart? Thomas asked the question, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, I always thought that was talking about prayer. Is that the way that we come to the Father, and this is true, is that we pray in the name of Jesus. We come through Jesus, who is our high priest. But I'm more and more convinced that Jesus has brought us into that dwelling place of the Father, and so that as we are in him, in Christ, and we dwell in the heart of the Father, his love flows through us, and God wants to grow into an intimate, deep relationship with us. And as we understand the heart of being a true son and a true daughter, we can walk in that. And Jesus is the only way. That's what really... That phrase that Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the only way, I am the only way to the Father. That separates us from all other religions in the world. Praise God. It's that Jesus is the way to the Father. Yes, Jesus is the way to salvation, but at the moment that we get saved, the moment that we invite Jesus into our heart, he brings us and we are in the heart of the Father. But it's deeper than that even. Let's go a little bit deeper here. In John chapter 14, verse 7, he says, if you really know me, you know, if you really know me, Jesus is saying, you will know my Father as well. You know, if you really know Jesus, if Christ is in you, you will know the Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him because you have seen me. You see, there is a place right now for us in the heart of the Father, but there is also a place that we can know the Father in a deeper, more intimate way right now. So how do we get to know this heart? How do we get to know the heart of the Father? The way that we get to know the heart of the Father is we need to focus not on what we can do for God, but we need to focus on being sons and daughters. And out of being sons and daughters, we will obey and be fruitful and multiply. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 10, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So Jesus is making three statements here. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. My authority comes from the Father. The reason that Jesus has authority is because it comes from the Father. And Jesus says, I have given you the keys to the kingdom because we are sons and daughters. We come into this covenant relationship with the Father, and he has given us authority here on earth to reestablish his dominion on the planet. That doesn't mean that we're going to rule and reign every aspect of this planet, but we're to bring people to the Father. And when they come to the Father, we come under his dominion. The way that we're going to see Canada restored as a dominion is that we need to see a revival of the Father's love and people coming into the kingdom and reestablishing the dominion of God over our nation. Can somebody say amen? It's nothing you can legislate. We can't elect the politicians to do that. We can't, you know, protest to do that. It has to be a move of the Father in us and into people's lives. And when we experience that, when we experience the love of the Father, him living in us, we can do his work. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 19, just kind of finishing up this passage. The heart of a true son no longer has the heart of an orphan. Jesus' words, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you before long. The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. You know, this is one of those passages Jesus just kind of, you know, just throws that out there. And he says, you'll no longer be orphans anymore. You know, I was reading and doing some studying on this, and Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers from England, said this. These are the similarities of the orphan spirit that were in Britain back in the 1700s. He said that an orphan has parents who are dead. The spirit shows us that Jesus is alive and that God is our Father. An orphan left alone, the spirit draws us close to God's presence or to the Father's presence. We're no longer alone. An orphan has lost their provider. The spirit shows us that the Father is the provider of all things. An orphan is left without instruction, and the Spirit teaches us all things that the Father wants us to know. And let me just stop there just for a moment. That is the number one role of a father, is to teach his children. And we do rite of passage weekends with fathers and sons, and one of the things we talk to dads on those weekends is we say that God has called you as a father to teach, train, and bless your children. And so an orphan, though, is left without an instructor. And so many times orphans, they don't have that instruction of how they should behave, how they should treat a woman, how they should have a relationship with God, what is their identity, what is their destiny. They don't know that because they don't have a father. And so many Christians in the church are orphans in their spirit because they don't know that the Father loves them and that they can come into their identity and come into their destiny. Spurgeon also said an orphan is left without a defender. The Spirit tells us that the Father is our defender. You know, no matter what battle, no matter what persecution, no matter where you're coming in life, the Father loves you and He will be your defender. He is our defender. And Jesus said, I'll ask my Father and He will give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come and to teach you and to lead you and to guide you. Pastor friend of mine in Calgary, we've been kind of walking together over the last few months and really been praying and pondering and looking at this whole idea of the church. Many times has become like an orphanage. People come, people go, people scatter, and there's this orphan spirit so often in the church. When we were in London, England just a few weeks ago, we were at Harpenden Youth with a Mission Base teaching and training there. And Harpenden used to be an orphanage. And it's kind of, you know, was ironic. And they had a stained glass window in the chapel. And it talked about the orphanage. And then on the bottom, 150 orphans that fought in the wars, the great wars they called them, World War I and World War II. And then when the soldiers came back from England and from Canada, many of them died. My grandfather fought in World War II. He moved from the island and moved to Nova Scotia and joined the Air Force. And many of them came back and they were aloof, they were wounded, they had lost their friends, they had seen the horrors of war. And out of that came my parents' generation that were hurt and wounded and broken, and then our generation, which was the sort of that rebellious generation that turned their backs on God, and now there's another generation, our grandchildren. I believe that the Father is wanting to break that orphan spirit over our nation, and it starts with us. Amen. And there's a real subtle thing. I'll just quickly go over these. Signs of an orphan heart. One is we're living by the love of the law rather than the law of love. And this is so key, is that so often in the church, we have all these standards, and I believe in all of these things, you know, but so often we're so in love with the law that we need to focus that Jesus said we need to have the law of love. And the law of love will bring a message of transformation and hope to a people that are bound in darkness, that are bound in their own ways. You know, what is the number one thing that you think PEI is famous for off-islanders? Potatoes and Anne of Green Gables. Anne of Green Gables. Anne of Green Gables is an orphan. And it's very interesting that here is what really compels the heart of an orphan is the fear of abandonment, abuse, and hurt. So in Anne Shirley's life, in the book and in the novel and the movie, we see a girl that has this vivid imagination and these wild ideas, these crazy ideas, is always trying to perform, is always trying to show Matthew and Marilla, don't send me back to the orphanage. Don't send me to another place, because in an orphan's heart, there's this fear. We're actually going to go to Green Gables this afternoon. All our team is going to go there. But, you know, there's this fear, and so she was always trying to perform. She was always trying to do that, and so often in the church, we have this orphan mentality. If we don't perform enough, that God won't love us anymore. And that's the exact opposite message that the Father wants you to know this morning, that no matter how you perform, He still loves you. But here's the thing. When you know the love of the Father, you'll obey Him. That's what Jesus talked about. So the love of the Father, the love of doing the law comes out of our love relationship with the Father that empowers us to do all that He's called us to do. And so I believe that it's significant that this island was founded by the Fathers of Confederation. Excuse me, let me get a drink here. The second thing an orphan heart does, it focuses on our mission rather than relationship with the Father and His mission. Jesus said these words, So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. We all know the story of the prodigal. But here we see the story of the prodigal's older brother. And I think he's often symbolic of us in the church, that we're so busy and we focus on the mission, all the things that we do in the church, rather than on the relationship with the Father and his mission. And when the love of the Father starts to flow through us, it transforms us. And we see it happen this week. Really, Family Foundations is all about bringing people to the heart of the Father. The only question that we ever ask, and as we're ministering to people's hearts, is we just say, ask the Father. Ask the Father. As we're walking with people in prayer and in ministry, and they hear the teaching, they hear the process, as we're ministering one-on-one with people, we just say, can you just ask the Father that? And when, see, people ask the Father, it transforms their hearts. It transforms their lives. And then we become motivated by the mission. And I believe that God has a mission for this church. I believe that God has a mission for each one of you. That mission is to raise up a new generation that is going to take back government, take back education, take back dominion of God in Canada, and we're going to see transformation in our nation. So as we focus on the love of the Father and being sons and daughters, we're going to see transformation in the next generation. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So the orphan heart walks as a slave, not a son. And this is something that we need to get a hold of. It says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought you into adoption and into sonship, and by it we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, that we're his sons and we're his daughters. And really, that's where God is calling us. He's calling us not to walk in that slavery of the do's and the don'ts, but we can cry out, Abba, Papa. Papa, I heard you praying, Daddy, Dad, Papa. You know, there's that God wants us to walk as sons and daughters and to become those things in our lives. Other signs of an orphan heart is the orphan heart chases after counterfeit affections and pleasures to fill the orphan heart or the orphan spirit. You know, many times as pastors and leaders, performance keeps us busy to fill the empty places in our own lives. Passions, hidden sins, and iniquities that cause us, so many leaders, to fall. Possessions, bigger houses, bigger churches, bigger holidays. We want more, 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 when really what we need is the heart of the Father. You see, when we have the heart of the Father, it doesn't matter how big our house is. It doesn't matter about anything else. It just, as we know the Father's heart, we do his mission just like Jesus did. Jesus obeyed the Father and went to the cross out of love. And that's what God wants us to do that. So how do we receive the Father's heart this morning? Jesus said, anyone who loves, and the word love there is agapeo, will obey my teachings. So when you experience the unconditional love of the Father and it heals all those places in your heart and you experience the Father's love, it says, my Father will love them and they will come to me and make our dwelling place with them. So my Father will love them and we will come to them. Who is the we? Jesus and the Father, because Jesus is in the Father, will come to us, and it's the same word, mone. He will make his dwelling place in us. It's not just Jesus that lives in us, but the Father lives in us. We are in the Father's heart. I wrote a letter to my daughter this morning. One of our daughters has been going through a difficult time. I was just praying this morning, and I sent her an email this morning, and, you know, because she was in my heart this morning. She was in my heart this morning. And so I sent her an email and just a word of encouragement and sent her a couple of instructions that I thought that God was speaking to me for her today because she was in my heart. And we're in the same way. We're in the heart of the Father right now. But the Father's heart is in us. And he wants us to understand the agapeo love for us is unconditional. That word means to love, value, esteem, feel, or manifest generous concern for, be faithful towards, to delight in, to set store upon, refers to God's unconditional love to us. Can you just say, God loves me? He just loves you this morning, and I know that you know it in your knower, but do you know it in your heart? Pastor talked in when he was taking up the offering about the disciples, you know, and you know how they all scattered and Simon Peter denied Jesus. Now they get back to the Sea of Galilee, and it really isn't a sea; it's just a little lake, really. But they get back to the Sea of Galilee, and there's a scene there that Jesus is bringing restoration to the heart of Simon. And Yeshua says, Simon, do you love agape me more than these? Lord, you know that I filio you. The word filio is brotherly love. You know I love you like a brother. Jesus, I love you. Because he wasn't yet able to unconditionally love Jesus back because the Spirit had not yet come. And Jesus asked again, Simon, do you agape me? Peter says, you know that I filio you. And then Yeshua, Simon, do you love me? Do you filio me? You see, he came down to his level, and Jesus always comes down to where we're at. But he wants to bring us to the heart of the Father. That's where Jesus is here this morning to do that. So how do we receive that love? There's four words in the Greek that are used. There's actually seven words in the Greek. There's four used that we want to talk about today. The first level of love is storge love, and that's the love of an affection that naturally occurs between parents and children. You know, unfortunately, we live in such a broken world that the natural storge love of parents doesn't always filter down into the children the way that God designed it. And many people get wounded and hurt and broken because of shame and other things that happen in their family lives. And God wants to heal those places in our lives, because when the storge love, the family love, and that's really what Family Foundations does, is we help to lay the foundation so that you can receive the love of the Father. Because the love of the Father, when it goes through people that are broken and hurting and they don't have not yet dealt with the lies and the abuse and the stuff that's happened in their lives and the lies that they believe about themselves, that love often just kind of flows through like a being poured into a sieve. But when the storge love is healed and the Father heals it, and we've seen that this week, it lays a foundation so that when the Father's love comes, we're able to contain it. We're able to contain it. And when we can contain the Father's love, it transforms us. And then we can filio each other in a new and transparent way. We were doing a school of ministry in New Zealand a couple of years ago. And a lady from Australia who had not been in the church for 20 years. And we have complete transparency, complete honesty that happens in these schools of ministry. People share things in their lives that they've never shared with anybody in their whole lives. And their transparency, there's this love. And sometimes things get stirred up. And there's all this stuff that happens in a school of ministry. And she goes, what happened? Did church change while I was gone? You see, that's what's supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to love one another. Like, that's what Jesus said. When people see that kind of love, it changes and transforms the world. We did a Blessing Generations seminar in Belleville, Ontario 2 weeks ago, and we went out for supper afterwards at Swiss Chalet, my favorite place to go in all of Canada. You know, going to Swiss Chalet, you know, just, it doesn't matter where I go, we go to Swiss Chalet. Does the island have a Swiss Chalet? Okay, praise Jesus, we got to find it. And so we're at Swiss Chalet, and you know, we're having a great time. We're debriefing with our team, and this young girl was serving us, and her name was Brittany. And you know, just after at the end, you know, we're paying her, and I go up to her and I said, Brittany, is it okay if I just pray for you? And she begins to tear up, and I look her in the eye and I says, what is your need today? And she says, well, I need a new job because I'm only getting 3 shifts a week at Swiss Chalet. And so we just began to bless her and said, Brittany, you are beautiful, you are precious, you are valuable, the Father loves you. She just began to weep and began to cry. And we introduced her to Martin and Tina, our coordinators that are here with us doing training, and, you know, invited her to come to the church to experience that same kind of love wherever she goes. That's what the world needs. They need us to be transparent. And they go, wow, those guys really love each other. And then the sort of eros love is kind of the worldly kind of love. It's that sexual love, the feelings of sexual attraction. And that's a love that can be very pure when we have storge and filial love in place. But what we've seen is this kind of love, this eros love, become very defiled by the world in the last 40 years. We've seen that defiled. And then finally, there's this agape love, this God's unconditional love. Love that requires sacrifice and action. And when you experience the love of the Father, and his unconditional love fills those areas of your life, in your marriage, in the eros love, and then into your filial love and into the storge love, what happens is that you say, Jesus, where do you want to send me? Where do you want me to go? And do you know where he's sending you? He's sending me to your workplace, to your school, to your business, to your community, to Swish LA. He's sending you to wherever you go. Wherever you go, you bring the love of the Father. And when you bring the love of the Father, you just become Jesus to a world that needs love. And you have supernatural encounters every moment of every day of your life. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Can you play that song, "Good, Good Father"? And I just want us to just listen to a few of these words, and then in just a few moments, I just really sense that God wants to break through some areas in your life and in my life this morning, and that he wants to deal with some of those things in our hearts that have caused us to reject the love of the Father or not be able to hold the love of the Father. And he wants to just pour that into you today as you go out into PEI and to the uttermost parts of the world. So let's just listen to the first part of this song, and then we're just going to just see what the Father wants to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.